North Korea doesn't have a motivation for this confrontation. China does. Coggins saw the intensity, the absolute certainty in his face. But she heard herself say, "The Secretary of State doesn't agree with you." Jamil immediately snapped, "Then she's a bigger horse's ass than I thought her to be." Able One, Galley. "Which of your people tried to ruin this mission, Mr. Hartounian?" Harry saw that Colonel Christopher was in dead earnest. "I wish I knew," he said. "Not good enough. One of your nerds tried to screw up this flight. This is my airplane, Mr. Hartounian. I'm responsible for everything that happens in it. I want that guy's head on a platter." Harry sank into one of the bucket seats on the bulkhead opposite the coffee urn. The plane was still shaking badly, but he'd almost become accustomed to it by now. "You're taking this kind of personally, aren't you?" he asked the colonel. "Damn right I am." He shook his head. "I've tried to figure it out. I know it had to be one of them, but it could be you, couldn't it?" He felt the accusation like an ice pick jabbed into him. "Me?" The colonel broke into a smile. "No, I don't think it was you," she said more softly. "Not really." "It wasn't me," Harry said. Then he heard himself ask, "Could it have been one of your guys?" Colonel Christopher's smile dissolved. "From what you've told me, whoever it is would have to have some detailed knowledge of your system. My crew doesn't. They're flyboys, not techies." The intercom speaker in the compartment ceiling blared. "Colonel Christopher, General Scheib wants to speak with you, ma'am, right away." Harry saw the expression on Christopher's face harden. Looking up at the speaker, she said tightly, "All right, put him on the intercom." A burst of buzzing static, then, "Colonel Christopher? Karen?" The man's voice sounded tight, insistent. "This is Christopher," the colonel said, her eyes on Harry. A heartbeat's delay while the signal was relayed to geosynchronous orbit and back. Then, "Are you okay?" "So far, so good, General." Again the delay, longer this time. "There's a flight of F-16s coming out to meet you." Harry thought the general's voice sounded lower, as if he didn't want anyone else to hear. "The DPRK Defense Command says they're sending more fighters to us. They want us to land in North Korea." "According to our tracking data, you've left DPRK airspace." With a nod, she replied, "They claim out to 200 miles, but my navigator says we're past that." Silence except for the hissing of static. At last the general's voice resumed. "As far as we can see, they haven't put any more fighters into the air." "That's good. What's your situation, Karen? Can you make it to Misawa?" "We're going to try." Harry counted his own pulse silently. 2 beats, 3. Then the general asked, "What's your condition?" "One engine out, wing damaged, cabin pressurization holding, so far. Boeing makes tough airplanes, General. You know that." There was something going on, Harry realized. Something between the two of them that went beyond the words they were speaking. It was like a couple of people talking in code, almost. Harry could see the tension on Colonel Christopher's face in her strained posture, the way she was gripping her coffee mug in both hands, like it was a life preserver or something. "Well, take care of yourself," the general said. "We're doing everything we can from this end."
"Sure, I know."
A long pause this time. Then, "I'll set up a priority link with Misawa. Call me the minute you touch down." She closed her eyes.